In this podcast episode, we want to introduce you to our BCEN friend, Tesla Taiji. Come along as Michael Dexter and Holly Briggs talk with Tesla about her passion for emergency nursing and how she took her personal love of compression socks and became an entrepreneur for her company, Up at Dawn Compression. This episode is called Emergency Nursing Till Dawn Edition.
Hello, and welcome to the BCN and Friends podcast, where we hold interesting conversations about learning with a range of thought leaders, BCN certification holders, and industry professionals. But most importantly, to create value and insight for you, our professional nurses across the emergency spectrum. We hope you find our discussions interesting, informative, sometimes funny, sometimes serious, and always valuable. I'm Holly Briggs, a professional development specialist at BCEN, and one of your hosts for today. I'm joined by my co-host, Janie Shoemaker, CEO at BCEN. Hi, Janie.
Hi there, Holly.
And Michael Dexter, Director of Professional Development at BCEN. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Holly. Good to be with you again.
It's great to have you both. In this episode of BCN and Friends, we have Tesla Taiji. Tesla is an emergency nurse who is also a small business owner and entrepreneur for her company, Up at Dawn Compression Socks. She's proving, once again, nurses truly can do anything they put their minds to. Michael, could you please introduce us to our BCN friend, Tesla?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Tesla's an emergency nurse with over 10 years of clinical experience. And as you mentioned, she's also the owner creator of the company Up at Dawn Compression Socks, which has dynamic and paradise-inspired compression socks. In 2023, Tesla completed her master's in nursing education and lives with her family in the Garden State, where she has the opportunity to fill some of her favorite roles, which include ER nurse, university clinical instructor, mother, wife, beach enthusiast, and small business owner. Tesla, welcome to the BCN and Friends podcast. It is a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be on.
Well, Tesla, I am so excited we've had the opportunity to meet you and learn more about you. And I can't wait for our audience to hear more. So let's get right into it. Could you please tell us about your career in emergency nursing?
Sure, I would love to. I went to University of Hawaii. That was back in 2005. And entering the school, I knew exactly that I wanted to be in the School of Nursing since I was a little girl. So I just kind of jet set down that path. And then I finished that program in 2010 with a bachelor's degree. In 2011, I began working at a local hospital. It was a bigger organization, and I started out as a nurse's aide, and I worked as a nurse aide for 3 to 4 months, and then I entered a new graduate ER academy, is what it was called. It was a pretty intensive 5 to 6 months of training. We did a lot of classroom, and then we were assigned one or two preceptors that we followed. So I really liked the structure of the program. And coming out of that program, I was like, wow, I didn't even need to go to nursing school. I felt like I learned everything I needed to about the emergency room. I worked there until about 2017. And I had, in the middle of that, worked for a year and a half as a house supervisor for the hospital. And I really loved it. It was very valuable to me. And really seeing all the different players of how a hospital functions and runs and what beds are needed. So I was able to gain a bigger appreciation for all the different departments in a hospital, as well as where some of the throughput issues are in the emergency room. So I was the one kind of helping with bed control, making decisions on who gets the beds. We also managed the transfer hotline at the hospital. We would take in a lot of transfers from smaller Pacific Islands and then also the Hawaiian Islands. So anybody that needed to come over to Honolulu, then I would help facilitate that, connect physicians on the phone to discuss if they can accept them or not and what services we have. So I was able to see a lot of different things. Whereas when I was in the ER, we would, you know, be holding patients and people in stretchers would go by and we would all get so upset because we'd be like, why do they get a bed? And we've been waiting for a bed, you know, for so long. So I was able to see that, which I really, really appreciated. And then after that, I kind of shifted down to per diem, and I got a job in a very small ER on the North Shore of Oahu, which is where we lived. and it was a very small critical access ER. It had 6 beds and 1 physician, 2 nurses, and then like a registrar. And that was it. That was our whole team. And it was a very isolated ER. It served a very large community of the northern shore of Oahu. The nearest hospitals were probably a good 50 minutes to an hour away. So we would get a lot of walk-ins. We'd have walk-in traumas. In 90% of our patients, we would transfer out to the bigger hospitals if they needed it. So we did a lot of ride-alongs, people that were intubated. You know, we were respiratory, we were doing EKGs, blood draws. We had a very small lab that could run some labs for us, but I learned a lot there. I'd say I learned more there than I did at the bigger hospital. So that was a great experience. And then we had decided to make a move to New Jersey to be closer to family, my husband's family. And so now I work at an emergency room. It's a bigger organization. It has 3 emergency rooms, 1 in Atlantic City, 1 on the mainland side, and then a smaller critical access ER. So I'm at one of the bigger ERs here. And I'm loving it. During COVID, I'd read about the East Coast and how bad COVID hit the East Coast, New York, New Jersey. It's been really interesting meeting these nurses who were here kind of in the trenches and them saying things like, I was wearing a rain jacket, as PPE, and how crazy it was for them. And so I really enjoy how busy it is. It's crazy to enjoy how crazy and busy the ER is, but I do. It's almost like the excitement I had as a new graduate again. And it's chaos, but it's the chaos that I love, that I'm drawn to in the emergency room. And I like to see how the leadership is making strides to like, okay, because we have so many in the waiting room, how are we going to deal with this? And how can we get people seen? So I've been enjoying over the past couple of years to see how they're working through these challenges and understanding them and being the one who's kind of rolling out these new ideas and just seeing how they work or if they don't work. And so I'm enjoying that as well. So,
well, thank you. It sounds like you had a great foundation to start with in that new graduate program that you mentioned, and just some really well-rounded clinical experiences. And I just love how much you enjoy working in the emergency department and how enthusiastic you are about it. That's just awesome. Michael, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Yeah. So Tesla, I have worked in emergency medicine for close to 19 years, I believe. And over the years, I've heard a lot of people say, I should start a company, or I should design this or that, or if I could make something that would make this certain process easier, I would do it. And you hear that all the time. And I'm sure that's in every industry, not just healthcare, but you've actually done it. So just out of curiosity, tell us a little bit about how that felt. Was it daunting? Was it exciting? Is it a little combination of both? And where you are today with all these?
Yeah, so it all started from just like a little idea. And selfishly, it was for myself. I was tired of wearing compression socks that were in the As Seen on TV aisle. And they were like black or tan, because I needed to wear compression socks. I've always have back in college years when I worked at a coffee shop, I'd get swelling in my legs. So it's something that I couldn't work without. And living in Hawaii, there were so many women-owned businesses, so many small businesses are kind of started out in Hawaii and are hugely successful now. And it's been fun to see their growth over the past 5 or 10 years since living there. And so I was inspired by just some local companies. I was very inspired by Tropical Prints, and I was just so flabbergasted why there aren't better looking compression socks on the market. And why, like, we couldn't print some, floral prints on socks. So that took me down an avenue of kind of figuring out what manufacturers do that. So I reached out to all these different companies, and they mainly did like soccer compression or sports compression socks. And so they're like that nylon, they're super compressive and like really, really tight. So I would get a bunch of samples, and they just were like made for men. So they'd go way over my knee, and none of them would really do the the floral printing that I wanted. They're all, it's like a knitting process. So they knit it in, but that makes it very like pixelated and you're very limited. So then I found a little company in San Francisco. They're like a middleman company and they work with manufacturers overseas. So they help you with the design process. So they have designers. Because I'm not a designer. I still don't even have any of these design apps. So they helped me. I literally would scribble out a design like with my pen and pencil. I would cut out prints that I was interested in and I would like kind of tape them like a kindergartner on the sock outline. And I would send it to them and they would then, you know, create a beautiful mock-up design. And I'm like, yes, that's it. It took tons of time. I mean, at that little company I worked with, I think that from start to finish took like 7 months. So it was, they would send me a sample that took 2 months to make. And then I'd say, no, this is terrible. So then, you know, then we'd have to start over and wait another 2 months for the next sample. So that company was great to work with. I could do small batches. I think when I first made my first order bundle, I think it was probably like 50 pairs. And then slowly I was able to see the demand. And then I'm like, okay, well, this time I guess I'll make 100 pairs. And so, you know, now I'm at the point I've found my own manufacturer overseas, which is wonderful. It's great to work with them and they're pretty efficient and a lot faster. And so now I'm ordering, like my last order was 1,000 pairs. So the big barrier I have is space because I do it all out of my home, out of my basement area. And so it's as much as I can kind of like hold and I have a storage unit, but it's been really fun to see it grow. And it's definitely a labor of love. I think people underestimate like small businesses because they're like, oh, you must be making tons of money. But I think a lot of, I call them nursepreneurs, and even any small business owner, you pour all this money into it and time, but then, you know, then you gain like maybe a little profit, but then you reinvest it. So I reinvested in advertising, in my next order in my next big bulk order. So it's, for me at least, it's not really about making money. It's about just like connecting with people, seeing growth and being like proud of myself, you know, that, wow, I did this. And look at where I started and look at where I am now. My most favorite thing is connecting with other nurse owners. So I have met so many nurses just through social media. A lot of us troubleshoot together where I can reach out to them and say, oh, what about like text message marketing? Or I can ask, you know, one of them just asked me like, hey, my business is growing and I don't really want to put my home address anymore on my labels. And I told her, oh, you can do USPS, you can get a post office and you can have the post office's physical address and then you put your unit number. That's what I've been using because I was the same. But it's nice to authentically connect with your customers and work and have high standards for your products because it totally pays off that people really love your products. So that's been like super rewarding for me to meet people all over the world or all over the United States really and connect with them because otherwise I'm just here in little New Jersey and so it's fun.
Thank you for sharing that. I know, like I said, there's a lot of people that talk about it, but it's really inspiring to meet somebody that's actually pushed themselves to do it. And all of the work that you put into it is really commendable. So thank you for sharing that story. And hopefully it'll help inspire some other people if they have an idea as well to jump out and pursue it.
Mm-hmm. Michael mentioned you have pushed yourself in the entrepreneurial world as a nurse out there doing something that was an idea and now it's a full-blown company. You have a customer base. And as a person who is a strong believer in compression socks, I am very excited when people out there are doing a good job. And to know that a nurse is in that market definitely makes me want to own a pair super bad. So I know where I'll be later on your website. I also want to mention that you hold the Certified Emergency Nurse credential. You've also advanced your degree. You've started your own company. I mean, it's clear that pushing your boundaries and pushing yourself professionally in a lot of different areas is something that you do and you do well. What is the value that you have found in pursuing professional growth?
I was thinking about this question and I attribute it to nursing school. One of my clinical instructors took the whole cohort of nursing students to, it was called a PIN conference. It was like a Pacific Institute of Nursing and it was all evidence-based. It was my first nursing conference and we all got to go as students. And I was so inspired to like just look around and look at all these professionals and how they've advanced their degrees and where they're at now and how much knowledge they have. And so I think that set me up as a lifetime learner. I was fortunate in the ER I worked, we had a really good education fund for staff. And it was like a precedent. It was like everybody wanted to pursue getting a CEN. So a lot of the nurses that I started out with, that was like their goal. So that became my goal. And I've had the certification since 2014. And I love it because it pushes me to not only gain those education hours every 4 years, but also just like really love and be passionate about the conferences. Medicine is always changing, the healthcare space. And I think it's super important to remain up to date with the newest and the best practices. And I just love the atmosphere of being around other people that also are inspired to continue their education and learn more. So I make it a personal goal to try to encourage all my coworkers to go to these conferences with me, even though not many of them want to, but some of them do. And especially if I'm like training a new graduate nurse or like a new hire, I try my best to just be like, hey, I'm going to this conference, you should come with me because it's really fun. And then I always sell them on, they give you lunch. It's fun. I just love the atmosphere. You're feeling as being a professional even more to be able to go to these conferences. So I hold a really strong value in just pushing yourself educationally. I think I've reached my peak with my master's degree. I feel very satisfied with where I'm at, but that doesn't mean I'm definitely going to do as many conferences and continue to do that as I can. And I have another goal down the line. I think that what we don't teach students is documentation, and I think it's a huge disservice. And I think that nurses should come out of nursing school and know how to safely document to save their license, because medicine's changing where they're holding nurses pretty liable now and taking nursing profession more seriously. And getting report from a nurse, I look at their charting and I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, they're barely charted anything on this patient. And it's like, unless you've been deposed on a case or you've been a part of some kind of lawsuit, you have no idea that's looming out there, you know, and your documentation can have a huge impact on the outcome of, you know, a case like that. And so I have kind of a professional goal where I would love to formulate some kind of lecture about documentation and be able to help share that at universities or community colleges, or even like be a part of a conference someday. But I'm very far from that. That's just like an idea that I have. So,
well, it sounds like you have some ideas how you're going to continually pursue growth. Like you said, having your CEN, having a certification that requires you to continually gain current education, it pushes you to add courses and information and doing all those things to keep that certification when you renew it, you know, pursuing an additional degree. And again, you know, you're feeling good about your master's, and I think you should. That is awesome. And all of the other things that you talked about, when you see a problem or you see an issue that perhaps there's just a gap in the education that's been received in nursing school and or as a new grad or a new professional, and trying to identify that gap and then gain knowledge in it so that you can translate that to those that you're training and those that you're influencing and mentoring. And I think it shows your heart is to give back to this profession that you love. And I think that's, again, just very inspiring. So thank you for that, Tesla. I appreciate it.
Well, Tesla, back to your business now again. I'm curious to know, because I think nurses are just some of the most smartest, creative. We find workarounds to things. Nurses can do anything. And you clearly have done so much But I'm curious to know some of the experiences and things you've learned as an emergency nurse or in your house supervisor role, some of those things like in the critical access hospital where you were wearing all kinds of hats. Has that all helped you at all with some of the decisions you've had to make as you've been creating this business with your compression socks?
I think specifically emergency nursing has helped me. Like emergency nurses to me are able to focus on many different things at one time, and they anticipate problems and they anticipate plans that would occur if those problems were to happen. So I always think of ER nursing as staying two or three steps ahead. Like, if I'm going to give this med, what if they have a reaction? What would I do if they had a reaction? And then if they had a react, you know, so trying to stay ahead of disaster. And but then also just, yes, yeah, strategizing the plan of care for patients. I think that all of that ability to just be focused on so many different things at one time has helped me not only with splitting my time between family, work, and then up at dawn. I think that's helped me with that, like prioritization has helped me just figure out where my time should be spent. Also, how I best use my time. So time management, I would say for sure, has helped me with up at dawn, you know, where as when I started, I was so excited to get orders that I would just like, I would go, you know, in the room and I'd wrap my socks and but then I would be using 3 or 4 hours of my life, you know, every day because I was so excited to wrap these socks. But now, you know, I've been able to really like bundle and I've been able to figure out ways to streamline the process and save time. And I think that's what ER nursing is kind of about too. Like, for instance, if I'm going to the Pyxis to get a med, I also need to go that direction to get a blanket for somebody. And I also need to grab a urinal, and bundling everything together so that your time is used in the most effective way. And I think ER nursing, you learn how to communicate with people, their family members. And I think that that helped me with social media. I'm already like a pretty social person, but knowing how to connect with people meaningfully. And if I have a patient complaint, like an email complaint, then I take the time to figure out how I can best communicate back to them. And I think that comes from ER nursing too, because we put out a lot of fires and communication is like our strong point as far as building trust and everything like that. So
that's great. That sounds like time management. You certainly, there are only so many hours in the day for sure. And that sounds like a great skill that a lot of people could benefit learning more from you about that. Time management does not come easy to everybody. And your social media is really well done. So I think you have done a great job on the whole connecting thing. And you're right, we do put out a lot of fires. So I'm sure you don't have too many complaints, but it's probably helpful to have that experience when you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. That's really great. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Tesla, you have a lot to be proud of. You have your CEN, which, you know, not every ER nurse in the country does, but you also have a master's and you also are a business owner. You have a lot that you've done personally and professionally to push yourself. And one of the questions we all want to ask, or that we like to ask every person on this podcast, is who inspired you? And whether it was this particular patient encounter or a family member or a teacher or a coworker, is there any particular person in your career or within your life that's really inspired you to be the person you are today and to push yourself like you have so much?
I would say it's so many different people in my span in the nursing space. And it all would go back to like my first preceptor. He taught me in the ER, never run. Like, he's like, if you need to get somewhere, don't run. He's like, you know, you're going to be frazzled in your mind and then you're going to make a mistake or an error. And I think that I definitely carry into my practice, where I see nurses just like almost shaking, you know, if there's a critical situation or a code, and just like taking a breath and remaining calm can help you make good decisions, and taking that extra time to give a med safely. So, you know, I would attribute that part to that particular nurse. I think I've worked with nurses who are really good at making patients comfortable. then I gain that from them. I have gained so much from ICU nurses, particularly about like skincare and making the sheets really nice and flat and comfortable for patients. That I've taken into practicing myself, like I and checking for caps and things like that, because ER is so chaotic, but these are these small things that really can make a huge impact on a patient negatively or positively, like how you treat them. And so many of the older nurses, I learn a lot from them. Some of them are very by the book and they're very aware of protocols, and I really enjoy learning from them. One thing I'd say, you know, coming into this new ER position, they had me as an already experienced nurse. They gave me, I think, 5 weeks to train, which I had an initial job here in New Jersey, and they gave me 1 week. So I was so grateful for having 5 weeks. They put me with a new nurse every day, which I find highly valuable, because you not only get to know your team, and then when you're on your own, you already know like who these people are, and you build rapport with your staff, but also all the different things that these different nurses can teach you, I think, is also very valuable. So I can't even say that it would be one person. I would say like every hospital, every role that I've been in, I've learned so much from physicians who are so giving with education. And so I don't know, I can't pinpoint one person.
Yeah, well, I don't think I could either. So I think you did a great job answering that. I think where we are today is obviously impacted by many, many individuals, but sometimes there's certain things in life that we remember more. And I definitely agree with that initial preceptor of, you know, when you start running around, when you start getting more frantic, things just kind of snowball after that. So certainly great advice. Thank you for sharing all of that. Mm-hmm.
Well, Tessa, I get the portion of our podcast that we like to call the rapid fire questions.
Okay.
And they're really just to share some of your favorites with us so we can get to know you a little bit better. But my first question, if there was a career outside of healthcare, and in your case, outside of entrepreneurship, that you'd like to try, what would it be?
You know, with ER, there's so much chaos, and there's so many times I think every ER nurse is like, what would I do if I could have a redo? What position would I be in? And we always joke like, oh, I'd love to be a barista at a coffee shop, where like the worst mistake you can make is making somebody's coffee wrong, and they can like yell at you, and you're like, oh, sorry, I'll make you a new coffee, because the ER is really intense, where you know you're impacting somebody's like you could kill somebody, and so that's why it's like it's definitely a heavy job to be in. And I think I like challenges. And so I'm like, wow, if I could redo it, I would go to law school or something like accounting, like be a CPA. Or sometimes I'm like, I should get a real estate license, just because it's so not ER that those are where like I daydream thinking about these desk jobs that I would probably end up not liking. But also just the challenge of education and schooling and testing, like that definitely, it just interests me. Like, could I do it? I think I could do it. And yeah, a lawyer in accounting, yeah, that's where some of my daydreaming goes.
I like that you're still looking for a way to challenge yourself, but then also some of the career paths that you mentioned thinking about, they require, there's some chaos in all of that, right? Like there's things to be managed and lots of moving parts and pieces, and maybe the pressure's a little bit different, right? Like if you mess up someone's coffee order, or maybe you don't show them the house that they love, they might get mad, but they probably won't, you know, keel over on you and try to die. So, you know, a little bit different on the outcomes, but yes, I agree that when I think about what would I do outside of healthcare, it's usually something that maybe I just don't know everything about. There'd be a big learning curve, but that also is a part that interests me as well. So very cool. All right. I have some favorite categories. Here we go. So these can be all-time favorite, like the best, or it can be something that you're into right now that you just recommend for us. So favorite book.
So I just finished this book, and it is my new favorite book. It is Small Great Things by Jodi Picoult. And it's about a nurse. And it was given to me from my sister-in-law, who's a part of a book club. And I think every nurse and every human being should read it. So I could not put it down. I couldn't stop thinking about it after. And I don't even want to like go into what it's about, because I think I just would be so interested to see what people thought of it. So
that is an excellent recommendation. I've actually read multiple books by Jodi Picoult, mostly because, and if you haven't read anything else by her, I will say that most of her books have some type of question that's kind of like the overarching question of the book. And what I really appreciate about her as an author is she kind of gives you both sides. Like, you might find yourself on like one side of an issue, but after reading the book, I'm not saying that I always change my mind about the issue, but what it helps me to do is to gain perspective. Like, why might someone else be on the other side of that issue? And why might they feel so strongly about maybe that opposite opinion? And that book, because I think when I read it the first time, I was not in healthcare. So when I read it again and I was, it definitely changes the way that you look at things. So great recommendations, kind of a cliffhanger for those of you who have not read it yet, but Tesla and I are in the know here, so we won't ruin it for you. Okay, great one. All right, favorite movie, TV show, or it can just be like a binge-worthy series that you'd recommend for us.
Okay, yeah. So because they are so intense, and a lot of times I just need to like check out. I just like light and funny comedies. I love Bridesmaids. I could watch that anytime I'm feeling down or overwhelmed or just tired, because it's like a guaranteed laugh. I laugh every time I watch Bridesmaids. I love The Office. I've watched it a couple times. That's pretty binge-worthy if you just want something also light and funny. And then I loved the drama Big Little Lies. I'm like, I've been plotting and planning when to watch it again. So that should be, I should be watching it again soon, because I really loved that one.
I like all of the ones that you said. I will say that The Office is something that I consistently am able to go back to. So I'm glad that multiple streaming services have picked it up and play multiple different seasons, because honestly, it's one of those shows, if you like it, you can watch any episode and you'll find something lighthearted, something completely ridiculous that gives you just a sense of like a break from the heaviness that sometimes we carry from our day-to-day lives. So great recommendations. All right. Favorite musical artist.
This is a hard one because I feel so out of the loop with musical artists. And I don't even think I've ever had a favorite, but I did promise my daughter I would mention her. Her name is Nova, and she is wild about Taylor Swift. So I listen to Taylor Swift more than I ever thought I would, because she is about my age. And so she's been around for so long, but it is really fun to listen to her music, and whether I find enjoyment in it just because it's all we play. So yeah, that's been fun.
I love that. My daughter is also a fan of Taylor Swift. Now, I will say that most of the Taylor Swift she knows is the Kidz Bop version. So there's that. So sometimes it's unique in the exchange of words that she sings. And I'm like, oh, I don't think. Okay. But we're going to go with the Kidz Bop version because it's more age appropriate. So sometimes you just need a good T-Swift moment. So, all right. Here is a good one, and especially for someone who's wearing lots of different hats. What is your self-care go-to or a hobby, like outside of healthcare, that just helps you reset?
So I love reading. I have been so happy to be out of school to finally have time to read books. And fortunately for me, my mother-in-law and sister-in-law, they are avid readers, part of book clubs. So I get all their book club hand-me-downs, and every one of them is amazing. So I feel spoiled because I don't have to go shopping for books. So yeah, I love reading when I have the time. And my other hobby would just be being outside and doing beach walks, I think is something that we can do as a family, and just enjoy the fresh air and the ocean and looking for shells. And when I lived in Hawaii, I did a ton of hiking. I would probably hike 4 or 5 times a week, but it's pretty flat here. So I would say just doing some beach walks. We, on the weekends, we hike the lighthouse, and that's my cardio because That's the only way that I can get my heart rate up is going up those stairs. So
you mentioned some things that I also enjoy myself, a good book, a nice little stroll outside, a walk along the beach, all of those things. And really whatever that might be for each person, as long as it helps you kind of bring yourself back to yourself, and then I feel like then you're able to better give the best version of who you are to those important things, your family, your friends, your work, your business, you're better able to do that. So I'm glad to hear that you take time to reset, and that you make it a part of your daily life. All right. If our audience would like to follow you online, what social media platforms are you on, or where can they follow you at?
So yeah, the sock business is up at Dawn Compression, and that's just for the business. My website is up at dawn.co, and send me an email. Anybody who's interested in starting a business, I love just brainstorming with people or helping them if they are just like, I don't even know where to start or what to do. That's also become kind of a passion of mine, is just connecting with people. So anybody who is interested, just send me an email.
Well, that's awesome. And I hope that those who are listening will take Tesla up on that offer, especially if you've had an idea maybe marinating for a little while and you're like, man, I would really like to get this started, but I don't even know where to begin. Well, you already have someone who is blazing a trail, so you could follow along. Thank you so much for that, Tesla. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Tesla, thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us today on BCE and in Friends podcast. We have been very excited to talk with you. I was excited when I came across the blog online that I was reading. I was researching nurse-led companies. And so your company came up on that, and I noticed you were a CEN, and I thought, hey, let's reach out and see if Tesla will respond. And you did. So it's just been so wonderful to get to know you. And I think the thing that I love most about you is your passion for learning and your passion for what you do, whether that be your nursing job or your Up at Dawn compression sock business. You are such a positive, enthusiastic, passionate person. And it's really refreshing to meet someone like you. So thank you so much for spending your time with us today. And I can't wait to meet you in person. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you so much. I was so excited. I told my husband, I'm like, oh my gosh, guess who reached out to me? Because you know, I would never have dreamed that, you know, BCEN would get in touch with me. So happy to learn about your conference, and I can't wait to go. And I hope that I meet a ton of new people there.
Yes, you will. And we're excited to meet you and connect you with some other nurses there who may want to learn how to do what you've done. I think that you are a tremendous inspiration, and you can be a great resource for other people in so many ways. So we're excited to introduce you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, I want to take this time to thank Tesla for joining us for this episode of BCN and Friends. Thank you, Tesla, for sharing your experience, your passion, your creativity. It is a beautiful thing to see someone create products to enhance the comfort and the abilities of others to stand a little longer, push a little further because of something that you've made. Thanks for inspiring and encouraging us to step out and maybe try whatever that creative thing in us might be. And to all of our listeners, we hope you'll stay tuned as we continue with BCN and Friends and bring you new, meaningful content and perspectives. If you have a suggestion for an episode, please email us at bcn@bcn.org. I'm Holly Briggs, here with Janie Shoemaker and Michael Dexter. And on behalf of the entire BCN team, we thank and celebrate you for all that you're doing as professional nurses across the emergency spectrum. Until next time, we are out.